Well, this morning our Bibles are pre-marked to Matthew chapter number 16, but before we get to Matthew chapter number 16, I just want to remind us once again of our theme that's carrying us for the first 6 months of this year, and that is in fact that we're preparing the church for the next move of God. We're preparing the church for the next move of God. And so what we're looking to do is to prepare the church for what God wants to do next, what he desires to do. But when we look at preparing, we're talking about making ready. We're talking about making ready, we're talking about making available, and we're also talking about equipping for a specific purpose. So as it relates to preparing the church for what God wants to do next, what he has a desire to do next, we realize that we have to make ourselves ready, we have to make ourselves available, and we have to equip ourselves for God's purpose. And if we don't know by now, I'm just going to repeat this just for the mere fact, it's just good to repeat this. But the next move of God involves change. The next move of God involves change. So when we look at what God wants to do in the church, he's looking to bring about change. And church, that's the good news. The change that God's looking to bring about in all of us is godly change. Is godly change. And where there's godly change, there's godly growth. And where there's godly growth, there is, in fact, an abundance of resources. But when God changes things, it's for his glory. When God changes things, it's for his glory and our benefit. It's for his glory and our benefit. It's for his glory and our benefit because it is, in fact, now time, and God has saw fit for it to be that time to bring about godly change, bring about godly growth, so that there would, in fact, be an abundance of resources. God wants to do something. And God is about to do something. And we know that in from the heart where this is a year of transition, and we know that there's a changing in leadership and there's a changing in dispensation. And that is, in fact, good news to us. We should look forward to the changing that's going to take place as to what's taking place within the church. And that is, in fact, good news. We should be excited about it because when God ends a dispensation and he begins a new dispensation, what God is letting us know is that I'm about to do something for your benefit. I'm about to do something for your benefit. And the next move of God is a new thing. The next move of God is, in fact, a new thing. And church, it requires us to leave that which is, in fact, familiar. It requires us to leave that which is, in fact, familiar. We have to leave that which is, in fact, familiar. Our familiarity keeps us in the old. It keeps us in the old. But see, the next move of God is a move that's new to us and is going to be new to us. But as long as we hang on to that which is familiar, we're not going to know the will of God in the new thing. If we're going to move into the new thing, we can't be dependent upon familiar knowledge. We can't be dependent upon familiar knowledge because it causes us to do things, the same things over and over and over. And so that's why we're dealing so heavily with some things that are challenging our beliefs and challenging our thoughts. And we have to begin to replace some thoughts and some beliefs with some unfamiliar knowledge. We also know that the next move of God is going to cause us to leave that which is comfortable. Because comfort causes us to keep doing the same things over and over and over and over again. And it keeps us from doing the will of God. The next move of God is going to cause us to leave that which is secure, meaning that which we have placed our natural security in. Because it's those things that are going to keep us from trusting God. And church, we have to settle in our hearts. As God's moving us into the next move is going to be unfamiliar to us. But we're going to have to trust God. Matter of fact, one of the things that we're learning Tuesday night Bible study, our relationship with God is based on trust. And it's based on two-way trust. Our trusting him and he trusting us. And we have learned that God doesn't trust anybody that doesn't trust him. And so what God wants us to do, he wants us to trust him. And what he wants us to know is that he has us. He says, I got you. He says, I got you. See, this thing is going to be for my glory and for your benefit. He says, I got you. But I need you to leave that which is familiar, comfortable, and secure. Because I'm taking you into something that's new for you. See, I'm taking you into change. Church, we can't remain the same and say that we're changed. See, we can't change by doing the same old things the same old way. That doesn't bring about change. Hanging on to the old thoughts and belief won't bring about change. It will not bring about change. And the Lord is looking to bring about change. But he says, I got you. He says, I got you. I will not fail you. The next move is for my glory and for your benefit. Church, are we together? And so we should have a happy anticipation of something good. We should have a happy anticipation of something good. But nevertheless, church, we have already looked at our first series in this particular theme, and we have looked at the fact that we have been made for God's purpose. We have been made for God's purpose. And what that lets us know is that we have been made for the next move of God. Matter of fact, our purpose is tied up in the next move of God. Your purpose, the very reason for which God has created you, made you, and sent you into the earth for such a time as this, is in the next move of God. We have been made for God's purpose. And if this is God's move, your purpose is in God's move. Are we here together, church? And so we have been made for God's purpose, and I wanted us to know our purpose. And I wanted us to renew our minds and to change our behavior. I wanted us to renew our minds and to change our behavior. I want us to begin to deal with some familiar knowledge as it relates to who we believed ourselves to be and why we are actually here in the earth. We had to go through that process and begin to tear down some things and begin to put some new things in our minds. And when we go through that process of doing that, it's going to change how we behave. It's going to change how we behave. Familiar knowledge keeps us from changing and growing and doing the will of God. We had several objectives that we dealt with. I'm not going to go through those objectives, but our goal for that series is that we would change our priorities, that we would change our priorities, that we would change our priorities, because it's our priorities that's going to keep us from being ready, being available, and being equipped. And so we have to change our priorities. We have to move Jesus up to the place in our lives where he has to be. He has to be the center of our lives. He has to be the center of our lives. See, if Jesus is not the center of our lives, nothing else in our life is going to work. That's where we get chaos, confusion, and drama. It's because our life is not simple. And our life is not simple because of our priorities. Our priorities are out of order. But when we're able to get our priorities correct, then everything begins to flow. Everything begins to flow. And so we have to go through that process and begin to change our priorities. We have to begin to move our relationship with Christ into the proper place of our lives. And that is, in fact, first. No, Jesus said, if I'm not Lord of all, I don't want to be Lord at all. So if I'm not the Lord of your life, he said, I don't want to be the Lord of your life at all. He says, I have to be first. You have to love me first, and you have to love me more. I have to be the priority. There should be no one else or nothing else challenging me for your attention. Are we here together, church? That means that we have to rearrange some things in our lives. We have to rearrange some things in our lives. But nevertheless, we're now working in our second series. In this particular thing, we have looked at, we have been made for God's purpose. Now we want to look at Matthew chapter number 16, and as we look in Matthew chapter number 16, We're going to continue in our second series of this year entitled Church is Who We Are. We have been made for God's purpose. Now we want to deal with church is who we are. See, we're talking about preparing the church for the next move of God. But see, if we misidentify ourselves as it relates to who we are with the church, we won't be prepared for the next move of God. Because if we don't believe what is being taught pertains to us, we're not going to prepare. We're not going to prepare, and we're going to miss the next move of God. But nevertheless, here in Matthew chapter number 16, let us begin reading verse number 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What we discovered last week, that when we see here in verse number 18, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to build my ecclesia, the called out ones, my assembly." My called out ones, my assembly. See, when we confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we became part of the church. We became part of Christ's church, his called out ones. And we have been called out of the world into his church. We have been called out of the world into his church. And Jesus is letting us know here that when he talks about the church, he's not talking about a physical building. And the rocks that he's talking about, he's not talking about physical rocks. He's not talking about physical stones that are going to build a physical building. What he's talking about is you and I are going to be the stones upon which he's going to build a spiritual church. It's going to be a spiritual building whereby he might dwell. And he's doing it for a reason, and he has a purpose in doing it. And just as you and I, we have been predetermined to come into the earth to fulfill God's purpose. And at the same time, he predetermined that there would in fact be a church. And so what he began to do when he was predetermining us, even while we were being made in our mother's womb, he had already been predetermining that he was going to put us in his church. Even while he was already forming us and shaping us in our mother's womb according to his purpose, he already had a purpose for the church for which he was going to put us into. And so he was making a connection for the purpose that you and I have to the church. Church, our purpose cannot be fulfilled outside of church. We were made for purpose. We were made for church. Church is who we are. Church is not what we do. Come on now. Church is who we are, is not what we do. And oftentimes people will tell us that I don't do church. That's because they don't understand who they are. See, they are lost. They may have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and believed in their heart that God raised them from the dead in and on their behalf, but they're still void of knowledge of who they are. They don't understand that they are the church. They don't understand that they're here because of God's purpose. And they don't understand that their purpose for being here is connected to the church. Because one of the things that we now know and clearly understand, who we are determines what we do. God does what he does out of who he is. Well, church, it's the same way with you and I. However we identify ourselves determines what we do. And so if we don't accept ourselves as the church, it's going to affect what we ought to be doing. And if I identify myself with the world, then what I'm actually doing is that which is of the world. And we only have two choices: the world or the church. We're either going to identify ourselves with the world or we're going to identify ourselves with the church. And however we identify ourselves, that's what's going to dictate and determine what we do. See, if I identify myself as being a singer, then that's what I'm going to do, even if I can't sing. Come on now. People that identify themselves as being a singer, that's what they do. Am I not right? Even if they can't carry a tune, they're going to do their best. They're going to do the best they can all the time. But if I identify myself as the church, then I'm going to do what the Lord has the church to do. Are we together, church? But see, we have been called out of the world into the body of Christ, into God's church, into his assembly. But here's the thing about it. The church universal is invisible. It's not visible. We can't walk down the street and tell who's in the church and who's not in the church. And so the church is not visible. The Lord's church is not visible. The church universal is not visible. But guess what the Lord has done? He has established local churches. And it's those local churches whereby there's an assembly of those that have in fact been called out of the world into the church, whereby now the church can become visible because they assemble themselves together. Are we together? But the church has to be visible. The body of Christ has to be visible. It has to be visible for a reason. It has to be visible for a reason. But for the church to be visible, it can only be visible if the church has been assembled. It can only be visible if the church has been assembled. Church, that's why we have to assemble ourselves together. And when we assemble ourselves together, the church becomes visible. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes visible. And when we assemble ourselves together, there's something that begins to happen. See, it's like our physical body. See, our physical bodies are able to work because all the parts of our bodies and members of our bodies are assembled together. But see, it's the same way with the church. See, if the members of the local church are not assembling to themselves together, nothing's happening. Nothing is happening. And when we assemble ourselves together, there's something that begins to happen. Something begins to happen. The scripture lets us know that the body of Christ is like a spiritual house in which God dwells, or a spiritual body in which he dwells, in which he works through. And so when we assemble ourselves together, the Spirit of God begins to work through the body, and things begin to happen. When we assemble ourselves on Sundays and Tuesdays, and whenever we assemble ourselves, the Spirit of God is able to do some things through the body that will not get done if we stay isolated from the body. Church, when we don't assemble ourselves together, we're missing out. And not only are we missing out, but the other parts of the body are also missing out because we're missing. God never intended for any of us to be a lone ranger. He never intended any of us to be a lone ranger. See, because in and of ourselves, when we isolate ourselves, we can't do anything really for the Lord. Because we've been designed to move as a body. Think about it. Your foot by itself can't do anything. You know, sometimes they tell stories where folks are going through surgery, heart surgery, and those types of things, and they're lying on the table, and they look over and they see their heart on the tray. Oh, y'all haven't heard that. We see that heart's not doing them any good on that tray. Not doing them any good. Church, we have to assemble ourselves together because otherwise the body of Christ is not visible. And the work of the Lord is going to be stagnant. It's not going to be accomplished. Because it's through his body that he works. And that body has to work together for the work to be accomplished. And so therefore, my intent for this series, church, is this, is that we would know and accept who we are. That we would know and accept who we are. We want to understand that who we believe ourselves to be determines how we identify ourselves. And it determines our worth, our value, and our significance. However you identify yourself determines your value, your worth, and your significance. And therefore, it begins to drive what you do. But thanks be to God that God has given us an identity that's in Jesus Christ. He has given us an identity in Jesus Christ. And that's important for us. Because without being able to identify with Christ, we'll continue to walk through the world and we'll begin to identify ourselves with the things that we see in the world, with the people that we see in the world, and we begin to do what the world does. And what the world does is sin. And what the consequences of sin does, it causes damage. And so whenever I misidentify myself, I'm going to sin, and as I'm going to sin, I'm going to damage my life, and I'm going to damage the life of others. And ultimately, it's going to come down to the point where I begin to say within myself that I'm not worth anything, I don't have any value, and I'm insignificant. Even when you begin to look at what's happening in the world, you begin to look at those that are famous and rich and all those types of things, they truly suffer from low self-esteem. Poor self-value, poor self-worth. You have to begin to wonder why you would mark up your body and mark up your face. For you to mark up your body and to mark up your face is an indication you don't value you. And you don't deem yourself to be worth anything. When people put graffiti on buildings, they put graffiti on a building because they have no value and they see no worth in it. See, the things that we value and the things that we have worth, we think provides worth to us, we take care of. Are we here together? But that's important that we have our identity in Christ. And so we have come to understand that we have great value and great worth and great significance. And this is important that we accept who we are. Because until we accept who we are, we will not prepare ourselves for the next move of God. We will not prepare ourselves for the next move of God. My purpose for this series is I want to develop the proper attitude toward church. I want us to develop the proper attitude toward church. I want us to love church. When I say love church, I'm not talking about the building. And I'm not talking about what transpires in the church. I'm talking about loving the people that make up the church. See, we have to change our attitude towards one another. We have to come to the point where we love church. And when we love church, coming to church shouldn't be an issue. Oh, you're together. See, right now it's an issue because we don't love church. And the reason we don't love church is because we had a misunderstanding as to what church is and what church is all about. See, we thought church was just coming to hear the music and the message, and we turn around and go right back home. We come back the next week, and we do the same things over and over and over, and we figure that that's what church is. No, 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 that's not church. Church are the people that gather in this place. And the reason that we come together because of love. It's because of love. It's because we love one another. It's because we love one another. And that's important for us to realize. That's why we come. And so therefore, it doesn't even matter what's going on. Come on now. It doesn't even matter what's going on. Oh, there's some church in there? There's some church in there? I'm coming. When I get here, I'll find out what we're doing. And whatever we're doing, it doesn't matter. See, church is not what we do. See, we don't become church just on Sunday and just on Tuesday. We're church all the time. 24/7, 365, 366 on a leap year. See, we are church. And so as we love one another, whatever we're doing is going to be good. Y'all not with me. I can remember being unmarried. That's where I went. I went to the church building. Because church was in the building. Every day of the week, I was there. It wasn't because, you know, it wasn't because Sunday and Tuesday. It's because the church was in the building. are we yet together? See, I'm trying to settle in our hearts that church is who we are. It's not what we do. When I accept who I am, then I'll do what church is supposed to do. But if I'm challenged with doing what church is supposed to do, it's because I have misidentified myself. And I still believe that my identity is in the world. And my value, my self-worth and significance is still based on a worldly standard. And so what ends up happening, I chase the worldly standard. And sometimes I get to the point where the church gets in the way. Church gets in the way, and coming Sunday and Tuesday gets in the way because I've got a worldly identification, and that's what I'm chasing. Church gets in the way of me being able to achieve what I'm trying to achieve based on my worldly standard and based on my worldly identification. Not realizing that I have been called out of the world into the church. Are we yet together? And that's why the world is not designed to work. And we're experiencing challenge, and we're wondering why things are not working is because of our identification. We have not yet accepted who we are. And my goal is that we have the proper value and care for church. And I want to teach us the purpose of the church. I want to teach us that Christ is building the church. And I want to teach us that Jesus is the head of the church, and also want to teach us that we are from the heart. So let's go to John chapter number 12. We're going to go back to our first objective. We're going to look to finish this up this morning. And we have been working with our first objective entitled The Purpose of the Church. The Purpose of the Church. We want to know the purpose of the church. And I also want to reiterate that we cannot separate our individual purpose from the purpose of the church. We have been made for God's purpose. We have been made for church. And God has a purpose for the church that he has, in fact, been building. What did I say? John chapter number 12. So when we talk about the purpose of the church, we're talking about the reason for which God builds the church, the reason for which God builds the body of Christ. And as we have learned in our last series, we understand that everything that God has made and created, he has made and created because of his love. And so when we look at church, God is building the church because of his love. And the church is here to manifest his love. He wants to manifest his love in and through the church. He wants to manifest his love in and through the church. And this is good, church. Church is about love. Think about this. The Lord took us out of the world that was killing us and placed us into his church, his body, his assembly. And ideally, the body and the assembly will be a safe place. He took us from an unsafe place, a place of unrighteousness, a place of sin and destruction and damage, and he placed us into a righteous place, a safe place, because of his love. And church is all about the manifestation of God's love. It's all about manifesting God's love. It's all about manifesting God's love. John chapter number 12, are we there? But here's the thing. Before we get to John chapter number 12, our first point in the purpose of the church is that God manifests his love through the church to show the world who he is. Now, that's love. See, that's love for the world. He's manifesting his love to the world through the church. The purpose of the church is to show the world who God is. And the reason that he's trying to show the world who he is because the world can't see him. The world can't see him. The world can't see him. He also wants to show the world who he is because the world won't accept or receive him because they don't know who he is. And he says, I have to have a way for the world to know who I am. For them to know that I am love. For them to know that I love them. But I have to do it through my church. I have to do it through my body. See, I'm no longer in the earth, but I have to have a body in the earth that I can work through to show the world who I am. See, because the world is looking for me. They're looking for me, but they can't see me. They want me. They want to receive me, but they don't know who I am. And I need a way to show them who I am. Speak, Holy Ghost. See, because they can't see me. That's why Jesus was telling the folks, I've got to get out of here. Because they can only see God in me and through me while I'm here. So if I'm in Atlanta, people in Los Angeles can't see and can't know who I am. He says, I got to get out of here. But I've got a plan. There's going to be a whole lot of me's. And they're going to assemble themselves together. And in the midst of them assembling themselves together, the world is going to see something. They're going to come to know who I am. Are we yet together? And so what that lets us know is that, listen, the world won't receive God because they don't know who he is. But in order for the the Lord to show the world who he is, letter A, he's going to cause us to get ready. The first thing that he wants to do as a church, he wants us to get ready. He wants us to get perfected. He wants us to mature in Christ. He wants us to mature in Christ. He wants us to be able to carry out this new life that we have. And so what he does is that he takes the church, the body of Christ, he takes those that have confessed and believed in our heart, and he said, now, you all assemble yourselves together. And as you assemble yourselves together, guess what? You're going to be perfected. See, you're going to be perfected. You're going to work out this new life, and you're going to carry out this new life, and I'm making you ready so that I can use you. See, that's why you have pastors and teachers and apostles and evangelists and all those types of things. And so you have the perfecting gifts among you to perfect you, to mature you in Christ, to get you ready so I can use you. See, because I need you to show the world who I am. Are we together? Then let her be. The church is also God's plan to reveal himself to the lost. The lost cannot know who God is without the church. The lost cannot know who God is without the church. They cannot receive God's help without the church. Listen, the only way we can receive God's help, it has to come through the church. It's his body. He has no other body to work through. So it has to come through the church. Any help we're going to get from God is going to have to come through the church. That's why it's important that we assemble ourselves together. And if we're disbanded and we're separated and we never assemble ourselves together, it's impacting how God is able to help us. Do you realize that all of us have been given gifts? Those gifts have been meant for someone else, not for us. And so when we take our gifts and we isolate ourselves, other people cannot benefit from what God has given us to give to them. So guess what's happening? They're not being helped. They're not being helped. But we receive God's help through the body. It's by that which each joint supplies. Come on, church. It's important that we assemble ourselves together. Then let us see, we have to manifest the works of God. The church is God's plan to manifest the works of God so that the world can in fact see the work of God. But the only way they can see the work of God is that they have to see the work of God being done in the assembly. See, it's like, we really can't do anything for God by ourselves. We really can't do anything for God by ourselves, and he designed it that way. We are a part of the church, and we play a significant part of the church. And so what that says is, apart from the rest of us, we really don't work right. If I isolate myself, I'm not going to work right. Because there's some help that I need that I'm not getting, and so therefore I'm not going to be perfected. I'm not going to be in a position to be ready for God to use me. And guess what's happening? Is the world can't know who he is. And the lost can't know who he is. And the lost can't receive the help from God. You know, it's like your finger. You know, when you're in a fight, you know, you want to use both hands and all 10 fingers. You also may want to use both feet and all 10 toes. We don't go into a fight with just one finger. Same way with the body of Christ. It's difficult for you to fight off the adversary by yourself. And that's exactly what the adversary wants to do, is to get us isolated. Because once he can get us isolated, it's easy for us, for him to do what he needs to do, isolated. So whenever we're in trouble, the issue is not to run from the church, the issue is to run to. Not from, to. No matter what it is, no matter how we feel, no matter how we're hurt, we don't run from, we run to. Because there are protectional gifts even within the body. God works through the body. Come on now. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. John chapter number 12, are we there? Let's begin reading verse number 18. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle, meaning Jesus had called Lazarus out of the grave. And so in verse number 18 it says, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. The world is gone after him. Gone after him who? Jesus. And there were certain Greeks, they were of the world, that were among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we want to see Jesus. So the world came, not knowing who he is, wanting to see Jesus. See, because they had heard what Jesus had done. He changed someone's life. The man was once dead, but now he lives. And they heard about it. And so now they're coming. They don't know who God is, but they had heard about what he's able to do. And so now they're coming and say, I want to see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So that people will really know who I am. Then he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. But Jesus was saying in verse number 24, he says, I got to get out of here. Because people want to know who God is. And people want to see me. They want to see God. But I'm trapped in this body. I've got to get out of this body. And I need a larger body whereby they can come to know me and they're able to see me. Are we together? He says, I got to get out of here. I can't stay here. Verse number 26. And if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve him, will my Father honor. He says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this reason came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Drop down to verse number 30. And Jesus answered and said unto the folks that were around, this voice that you have heard came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, what I will draw all men unto me. And that brings us to point number two. Point number two is this. The purpose of the church is to make him visible to the world. Is to make him visible to the world. And the way that we do that is, letter A, is by lifting him up. Is by lifting him up. Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth. And I know and understand theologically what this saying is, that he's talking about Jesus being crucified specifically. But the point for Jesus being crucified at the place that he was crucified is for everyone to be able to see him. And while he was on that cross, it was a demonstration of the love of God, where everybody could see the love of God. And what the Lord is letting us know is this. He said, if we would lift him up so that the world could see, he says, I'll draw. He says, I'll draw. He said, now, if you lift me up, if you make me visible. See, if you make me visible to the world, he says, I'll draw. And the church, the way that we make the Lord visible is by loving one another. See, because that's what was on display at the cross was the love of God. And what the world saw was his love. And so now it comes down to you and I. If we can make his love visible by loving one another, the world will be able to know and to see. And the Lord is saying, I'll draw. He says, I'll draw. He does the drawing. But see, they have to see the love of God. And they have to see the love of God in how we interact with each other. And as they see the love of God in how we interact with each other, he says, I'll begin to draw them. But the key is your love one for another. That's why he kept telling the disciples that I've got to leave here, but love one another. He says, lift me up. So that the world can see, so that they can in fact come to know who I am, so that they can in fact see me. And he says, I'll begin to draw. It's the love of God that begins to draw. But it's not our individual love, it's our collective love. See, you can't love another if you're the only one. He says, I'll draw. He says, I do the drawing. And so what that means is that here's the thing. The world can't come to know. They can't come to see without the church. And what the Lord wants us to realize and understand is that it's what's happening in here with us. That he uses to draw. The love has to be seen in here with us for him to draw. Because what he's drawing them with is love. And what they're seeing is love. That they can begin to associate with the love that they saw on the cross. See, it's hard to tell someone that God loves them and they cannot see any love. We can preach and preach and preach all we want about the love of God. But when people come, they have to be able to see the love in here. They have to be able to see how we love one another. And he says, I'll begin to draw them. I'll begin to draw them. Church, are we together? This is, in fact, important. We have to lift them up. Then let it be, we have to make them thirsty. We have to make them want it. We have to make them thirsty. And the way that we make them thirsty is by assembling ourselves together and loving one another. And so what happens when they come, they see how we interact with one another. They see what we do one for another. They see how we treat one another. And so when they come, what they're seeing is, you know, they're seeing a life that's different from their life. And so they're able to compare their life to what they're able to see in the church. They say, wait a minute. See, I'm struggling over, but over here, these people don't seem to be struggling. See, my marriage is not working, but see, over here, it seems that their marriages are working. Wait a minute, my children are off the chain, but over here I see something entirely different. And I see how they interact one with another, which is different than what I'm dealing with. See, I'm getting beat up over here. I'm getting beat up and I'm getting beat down, but over here I'm experiencing something entirely different over here. And so now I can make a choice. I can either stay over here and get beat up, or I can come over here and get in this thing and watch my life change. Like, watch my marriage change and watch my children change. Or I can remain over here and continue to get beat up. Church, they have to see something different when they come in the house of God. They got to see the church. They got to see the church. Without love, there's no church. They've got to see Christ. They got to see Christ. They're looking for him. They want him, but they don't know who he is and they can't see him. But the idea is that when they come in here, there's an entirely different atmosphere because their church has been assembled. And when the church is assembled, they can see the love flow from heart to heart, from breast to breast. They can see people from different walks of life, races, cultures, and ethnicities. And they can see the love of God. But it's not until we assemble that there's a witness. We could talk love all we want as an individual, but they still don't see the love. It's when we assemble, not out of duty, out of relationship. Not because we have to, because we want to. Are we together? See, we're causing them to become thirsty. And when you're thirsty, you drink. See, we assemble together because we prefer the company of one another. See, that's what the Bible says. We should prefer the company of one another. Prefer the company of one another. And we just don't come together just because I'm on the schedule. See, I come and I don't have to be on the schedule. We gather, we assemble because we prefer one another. We love one another. We care for one another. If one of us hurts, all of us hurt. All of us hurt. Because we're members one of another. The church is not visible if we're not together. The church is not visible if we're not together. And so we have to be able to assemble ourselves together so that the world can see our lifestyle and they can begin to compare their lives against what they see. Church, this is important as to why we have to assemble ourselves together. The church has been designed to assemble themselves together. Each joint supplies the need of another. We've got to be together. We've got to assemble ourselves together. Even when we deal with understanding, when we come to Bible study, you know, sometimes we don't even have to come to Bible study because we want to receive something from the Lord. I'm coming to Bible study because the church is gathering. And the church is gathering. You know what the church is gathering? You know what happens as the church is gathering? The Spirit begins to move. You know what he begins to do? He begins to minister to the church in the areas in which they have need. That's why all the From the Heart churches have different things. You know why? There are different issues going on in the churches. That's why if I listen to a message from another church, it doesn't pertain to me. because God's speaking to the messenger of that local church based on what's going on in that church, which is different than what's going on here. Are we together? And so let us see, we have to focus on how we relate to each other. If we're going to make him visible to the world, we're going to have to focus on how we relate to each other. Then point number last. Point number last. The purpose of the church is to give validity to the testimony of God. John chapter number 3 is to give validity to the testimony of God. It's to give validity to the testimony of God. God needs a witness for what he says. He needs evidence. He needs proof. And we are to be that evidence and that proof of what he said. And so that's the purpose of the church, is to bear witness with what he said. Not by our mouth, but through our living. Not by our mouth, but through our living, we give testimony. We validate the testimony of God. That's why here in John chapter number 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. John chapter number 3, verse number 12. If I have told you earthly things, watch what Jesus says. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe? If I tell you of heavenly things, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, symbolic of even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He says, if you lift him up, if you validate the testimony, if you lift him up, whereby they will be able to see the love of God, not through a photograph, not through a picture in a Bible, and not through what they have read, not through what they have seen in social media, but if they can see it with their own eyes and be in the midst, if they can see the work of the church, if they can see what love causes a person to do one for another, if they can just see it, if you lift them up, the world will be drawn. If you lift them up, if we live outside of our personal self-interest, if we lift them up, it'll validate the testimony. Otherwise, it's just words to them. It's just testimony to them. You're telling me that God loves me, but I see no evidence. I want this God that you speak of. I need him to move in my life, but I need some evidence. I need some proof. I need some witness. And we're not a witness by ourselves. Collectively, we're a witness. When people come and collectively they see a similar thing in each and every one of our lives, they see a similar thing in each and every one of our marriages, and even in our families, when they see a similar thing, it begins to add validity to the testimony of God. This God does work. By ourselves, we're not a witness. It's collectively. That's why we have to assemble ourselves together. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but it's not about us. There are times I don't feel like it, but it's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. Those that mature in Christ don't live their lives for themselves. They live them lives for others. It's not about me. We got to assemble ourselves together. Come on, church. This is good stuff. The purpose of the church is to show the world who God is, so that they can see, so that they can know, so that the Lord can draw. But it's based on what's happening between us. It's based on what's happening between us. They see something entirely different when we assemble ourselves together. I don't care where we assemble ourselves. We can assemble ourselves in a sanctuary, in a fellowship hall. We can assemble ourselves in a courtyard. We outside under the big tree. The church is a visible part so that the world can see who God is. So that they can know who God is. Purpose of the church. All that other stuff that the churches are into has nothing to do with the purpose of the church. You can make all the movies you want about God. But I still have to see it in living color. I got to see it in living color. You can put out all the movies you want that God is not dead. But that's what the movie said. But he has to be alive in here. It has to be alive in our hearts. And it's going to be determined by what we do in here. And whenever we assemble ourselves together. Church, are we together? We ought to prefer one another. We ought to prefer one another. Whether you realize it or not, when you get to heaven, only folk going to be there are church folk. This is a trial run. We're dealing with the purpose of the church. We have to accept who we are. And when we accept who we are, we won't be ashamed to assemble ourselves together. Amen. Well, church, my time is up, and I want to thank you for yours this morning. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For those that have been listening via the CD and or the internet, we just want to encourage your heart this morning. We just want you to know that God is a God of change. He's a God of change. He's able to change hearts, change minds, change lives. And just in brief moments, we have been able to share this morning, begin to realize some things, and what you begin to realize is that there's a need for change. We want to encourage your heart, encourage your heart to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart to save you and to change you and to turn your life around. We want you to know that we're living witnesses, knowing that he's able to do exactly that. We're praying for you that you would make that choice and make that decision. Just call upon the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me and change me and turn my life around. He will. And he'll do exactly as he said he would. We love you. We're praying for you. It's our desire that you would, in fact, join us once again. Amen.